Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
There is a God in heaven that is in absolute control. He gives man a free will, but he is in control. He's interested and concerned and involved in the affairs of men. That brings us to Palm Sunday and what Pastor Bill just got through reading. And if you would, go in your Bibles to Matthew in chapter 21. All four Gospels mention the triumphant entry. All four of them. Palm Sunday. And he read one of them. I'm going to read three more and share a truth out of each of the three that we read as we work through it here this morning. Man has a plan and God has a plan. Israel was looking for a king. Now here's what Palm Sunday is all about. Israel was looking for a king, but the time was not yet. I'm going to explain all of that in a quick moment. I've already prayed, but I'd like to pray again. God, would you bless this morning? God, would you take and get a hold of our hearts and with this great truth. The fact that Israel cried out, Hosanna, and yet as a nation rejected Jesus as the Messiah. And Lord, we're so glad in the plan of God, in the great workings of it all, you had Calvary in mind. And you went to the cross and you died for me. And every man, every woman, every child, every sinner person in this world that would repent of their sin, they can have eternal life and forgiveness of sins. I pray that truth to just ring true this morning. In Christ's name, amen. I love springtime, especially at the end of winter. And nobody appreciates springtime like a youper. And here it is, Palm Sunday already. Hard to believe. It seems a little bit early, and I guess maybe it is. And the pastel dresses that all the little girls are going to be wearing, and the bonnets and the hats, and the little boys wearing the little white shirts, and ties and little dress pants and dress shoes. And I look forward to Easter. That's a wonderful time. Resurrection Sunday. We celebrate Resurrection Sunday every Sunday around here. As a matter of fact, as a New Testament Christian, you and I ought to be celebrating Resurrection Sunday every single day of our lives since the day that you got born again. Palm Sunday is just a week prior to Resurrection Sunday. You say, what's it all about, preacher? Now I want to try to help you understand that by way of the Word of God here this morning. On April the 18th, 1775, during the time of our founding fathers, the time of the Revolution, in the home of Pastor Jonas Clark, a British official called for the Minutemen to disperse and lay down their arms in the name of King George of England. And it said that John Hancock and John Adams yelled, "No king but Jesus, and no sovereign but God." And as a New Testament Christian, I echo that this morning. I have a king. I've told you that 3 weeks in a row now. I have a king that wrote a book, and it's an authoritative book. It's the Word of God. I believe in the verbal, plenary inspiration of Scriptures. God didn't inspire thoughts. God inspired the very Word of God. And we have it recorded and written and settled in heaven, and we have it for the English language in the King James Version. And I love it. I love the Word of God. I believe that I can say with all the authority of heaven, like the generation before me, I have in my hands a perfect book. I have in my hands the very Word of God. We don't worship the book. We're not all about worshiping the book. That'd be foolhardy. We worship the Savior that is manifested in the book. He is the living Word. This is the written Word. We have great truths in our hand here this morning. By the way, if you came here this morning for just a little to play church, a lot of people come to church that way. But if I could use the words of Dale Bishop, I want to chide you a little bit this morning. I hope you came this morning to get the Word of God. I hope that those of you that are sitting in the back, you sit in the back because you have to sit in the back. Not because, but you know, unfortunately, there's almost an empty row up here at the front this morning. You know, the fact is, We need to hunger for the Word of God and hunger for the truth and get everything that we can. And let's go back now to this Palm Sunday thing and what it's all about. Now, I want to talk about the place. I want to talk about the people. And I want to talk about the purpose. First of all, the place. Take your Bibles, if you haven't already, go to Matthew in chapter 21. Also, verses 1 through 11, just like we read in Mark in chapter 11, what was already read this morning. Matthew and chapter 21, and verses 1 through 11. And when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem, and were come to Bethphage, unto the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, Go into the village over against you, and straightway ye shall find an ass tied, and a colt with her. Loose them, and bring them unto me. And if any man say unto you, ye shall say, The Lord hath need of them, and straightway he will send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, Tell ye the daughter of Zion, Behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek and sitting upon an ass, and a colt, the foal of an ass. So that's prophecy out of the book of Zechariah in chapter 8 and verse 3. All over the Word of God, we are told again and again of messianic prophecies in the Old Testament that Jesus Christ fulfilled. What we are reading here in the Gospel of Matthew is exactly what we read in the Gospel of Mark earlier, and we'll also read it in Luke, and we'll also read it in John. And each one gives just a few more details, all of them coincide with one another. None of them contradict one another. And it says also in verse 4, let me just jump ahead and get to that. And this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, Tell ye the daughter of Zion, Behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek and sitting upon an ass. Verse 6, And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the ass and the colt, and put on them their clothes, and they set him thereon. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strawed them in the way. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna, the Son of David. Let me stop there real quickly and say this. Lazarus had just been raised from the dead. Mary had just anointed the feet of Christ for Calvary. All Israel was there in Jerusalem for the Feast of the Passover. Some biblicists, Bible theologians, believe that anywhere from 500,000 visitors to 1.5 million visitors were there in Jerusalem. Every Jewish male within 25 miles was required to be there at the beginning of the Feast of Passover, a very strategic time for Jesus to enter the city and be presented as the King of Israel. Jesus enters the city by way of the eastern gate, seated upon a donkey. We've already read twice this morning, once prior to this message and once during this message, that they laid their clothes. They cut down branches and palm branches and laid them down in the street. Kind of like the best they could do at the time. They were so excited for a red carpet welcome for the Messiah. Verse 9 says, And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Hosanna is Hebrew for Savior. Help us. I got to say this morning. Most of the world has never heard the name of Jesus. The 7 billion people that live on this planet. The majority of the population of Chippewa County has never heard a clear presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I say that to the shame of the Church of Jesus Christ. Most have never heard. They don't know that they are in great need. They know something's missing. That's all they know. And now here Israel is in the same situation. And they knew that a Messiah would one day come, that a king would one day come. And they thought the king was going to come in their day and relieve them from underneath the heel of the tyrant of the tyranny of Rome. And so they cried out, Hosanna. They cried out, Savior, help us. Now, word had already spread about Jesus. His fame had already gone forth, even through the city of Jerusalem. how he raised the dead, how he healed the leper, how he spoke with great authority. And they were sure that this was their coming king. And so they're crying out, Savior, Savior, help us. Hosanna in the highest. Verse 10 says, and when he was coming to Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? And the multitude said, this is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. This world is hungry for a leader. This world is hungry for the truth. Let's just bring it down to where we live. Your relatives and your loved ones are hungry to know Christ. Your neighbor is looking for someone that has answers and someone that will lead them. And although they don't know who it is yet, his name is Jesus. And that's why the church is here. And that's why you, as a born-again believer, you're still alive and still on this planet and part of the church of Jesus Christ. We're to go forth and we're to sound forth the truth and tell people that Jesus saves. Luke in chapter 19, would you turn over there? So here's Palm Sunday. 2,000 years ago, God gave mankind, specifically the nation Israel, more specifically Jerusalem, a foretaste, a little taste of the future, a foreshadowing of a day that would come when Jesus would come as king. It's like for a moment in time, he peeled back the heavens to show the Jewish people that a king was coming. Now they thought he was coming in their time, and they thought he was coming now. But understand, as we look back and understand Bible, Jesus had business to do first. He had a date with Calvary. He was going to provide that which he came to fulfill, the law. He was going to provide salvation. He came to seek and to save that which is lost. He wasn't coming as a king yet. He was coming in humility on a little colt. No big red carpet. People took their coats off and laid their clothes in front. And those that knew him, it was real what they were crying. And others were listening to what was going on and heard it was a miracle worker and thought, here's our deliverer, here's our king. And the whole city was in an uproar. And they cried, Savior, help us. But Jesus first had to go to Calvary. Luke in chapter 19, you may be already there. Luke in chapter 19, verse 28. And when he had thus spoken, he went before, ascending up to Jerusalem, Jerusalem being the highest city and on a hill. And it came to pass, when he was come nigh to Bethphage and Bethany, at the mount called the Mount of Olives, he sent two disciples, saying, go ye into the village over against you, in the which at your entering ye shall find a colt tied, whereon yet never a man sat, loose him and bring him hither. And if any man ask you, why do you loose him? Thus shall ye say unto him, because the Lord hath need of him. And they that were sent went their way and found even as he had said unto them. And as they were loosing the colt, the owners thereof said unto them, why loose ye the colt? And they said, the Lord hath need of him. And they brought him to Jesus, and they cast their garments upon the colt, and they set Jesus thereon. And as he went, they spread their clothes in the way. And when he was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen. So now he's entering into the eastern gate. He's ascending up into the city of Jerusalem. And his followers can't help but praise him, can't help but praise God, saying, blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke thy disciples. They were so religious. They were so self-righteous. They couldn't see the trees for the forest. Here's the Messiah right in front of them. And these are the religious leaders that supposedly taught the Word of God. And they were all concerned because Jesus was getting worship. And of course, he deserved worship. And they said, Master, teacher, rebuke your disciples. They're treating you like your God. We're coming to that. Verse 40 says, and he answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. Creation knows. Even inanimate rocks and trees know who the Creator is. And if they were able to, and the Bible tells us in Romans in chapter 8, that all creation groans. Do you understand that even the inanimate creation around us recognizes who Jesus Christ is? And if men would not praise Jesus as the Messiah, this is what Jesus was saying, then my creation would. We worship the King of Kings. And the first time he came as a little baby, the next time he comes as king. Today, men shake their fist and mock God and make no time for God in their lives. But the day is coming when he'll appear in the clouds in the eastern sky, and he'll come as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Prior to that, Jesus comes by way of the rapture and takes his church from this earth. And what a wonderful day that will be. And the Bible says, comfort one another with these words. Then the bema seat, 7 years of tribulation, and then the king returns upon a white horse. And by the way, everybody's going to find time for God in that day. And everybody that's foolish enough, and every young man or young woman or old man or old woman that is foolish enough to think they can live their life apart from God and pick and choose that which they want to follow in the Word of God, they're going to see it with very clear eyes that day. He is king. No king but Jesus. No sovereign but God. Verse 41 says, and when he was come near, he beheld the city. Now let's not read this too quickly. And he wept over it. I want to tell you, Jesus cares about you. You say, oh, nobody cares about me. I live all by my... You're wrong. He cares about you. And if you'll open your Bible during the week and you'll get yourself a little prayer closet going, God will meet with you. He'll meet your every need. You say, I get bills, I hate to go to my mailbox, I get bills, I don't know how I'm going to pay, I live on a fixed income, I just don't, you know, it's like everybody, all my kids have forgotten me, all my grandchildren have forgotten me. Jesus has not forgotten you. He cares. Jesus, now when he should have been thinking about himself, because he's going to Calvary, for 6 hours he's going to hang suspended between heaven and earth, and he's going to shed his blood, he's going to bleed out for the cause of salvation. That all mankind, that repentant sinners, might come to Christ and be born again. He's got that scourging in front of him, and the whippings in front of him, and the beard being pulled from his face, and the mocking, and he's going to hang in nakedness and in shame before the world. He's got all that suffering in front of them, but he looks to the city, and he weeps. It says in the next verse, saying, if thou hadst known, even thou, at the least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thee. And by the way, before I look at that part of it, everybody look this way. I want every teenager to hear this too. You could have so much in Christ if you would just surrender to him. And if you just give up, if you just say, God, I'm yours, you could have so much. Some of you got plans in college and where you're going to go and jobs and opportunities. And it's pretty exciting. I agree with that. And it was exciting to be a young man. I remember what it was like. It really wasn't all that long ago. It seems like it was maybe 3.5 weeks ago. I was 18 years of age. You know, something like that. But, you know, bang, life happens. And I know you're excited. But listen to the words. Listen to some words of wisdom. Don't leave God out of your life. In fact, give him preeminence in your life. You put him first place in your life, because right now is when you can mess things up big time. You can mess it up big time. Jesus looked to the city and he wept and he said, oh, if you only knew, if you only knew. And of course, he's God and he knows that judgment's coming. Verse 43 says, for the days shall come upon thee that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee and compass thee round and keep thee in on every side. You're about to be besieged. This is prophecy. But oh, if you'd surrender to Christ. By not surrendering, you miss joy. You miss blessings. You miss strength. By doing your own thing, you're being foolish. Verse 44 says, and shall lay thee even with the ground and thy children within thee. They shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. They're about to reject the Messiah. They don't understand. They don't understand. You know what? A man or woman can get saved and get born again, and they choose Christ. It's a heart decision. Man, they repent of their sin, and they surrender, and Jesus Christ becomes their Savior. And then they go off and start making poor decisions and live for themselves and live for the world. Is that guy still going to heaven? If he got saved back there, he's still going to heaven. But you know who's missing out? His children. His grandchildren. His co-workers. His family. They're all missing the boat because he made some poor decisions. You can't live without God. You'll never exist. And no joy and happiness without Jesus Christ. Let's go to the purpose of Christ's coming. Go to John in chapter 12. John in chapter 12. The reason for Palm Sunday. On the next day, let's read it one more time, another account of it, and get down to verse 20. On the next day, much people that were come to the feast, that's the Passover, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, his fame had spread abroad, took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, Hosanna, Savior, help us. Blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. Help us. And Jesus, when he found a young ass, sat thereon, as it is written, Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, thy King cometh, sitteth on an ass's colt. And that was written for, prophesied by Zechariah 400 years earlier. These things understood not his disciples at the first. But when Jesus was glorified, later on, after Calvary, during the church age, when Jesus was glorified, then remembered they that these things were written of him, and that they had done these things unto him. And the people therefore that was with him when he called Lazarus out of his grave and raised him from the dead bear record. And for this cause the people also met him, for that they heard that he had done this miracle. The Pharisees therefore said among themselves, Perceive ye how ye prevail nothing? Behold, the world has gone after him. And by the way, there's just a little thought there. There's no stopping Christ. There is no stopping the plan of God. Jesus is coming just like he said he would come by way of the rapture. You aren't going to be able to hold that back. You say, man, I don't want him to come first. I want to live my life first. You got nothing to say about it. What you ought to do is just surrender and let God have his way in your life. Verse 20 says, And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. Some Gentiles. I got to say this, and I'm going to start winding this down already. I got a few more things to say, though. Don't get real excited. But Chippewa County wants Christ. Every household that does not have Jesus, there's an emptiness in that home. There's a void in that family. They don't know the Christ that you know. Their name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. They're living in our neighborhoods. They're breathing the same air and reading the same newspapers and going to the same events. But they don't have Christ. And it's our job as a church to tell them of Jesus. Verse 21 says, And there came, or the same came therefore to Philip, which is of Bethsaida, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. And Jesus answered them, saying, The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. He's talking about Calvary. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He was talking about himself. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto eternal life. Now he's talking about those that follow him. If any man serve him, let him follow me. Any man serve me, let him follow me, where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? For this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. You understand what Jesus is saying? He said, I've got to go to Calvary. That troubles me. Can you imagine what it was like the hours prior to Calvary? You ever had an event that's coming that you do not relish and you do not anticipate? Man, it's a long day the day before. Amen. IRS audit or dentist appointment or something like that. Man, it's a long time coming. But Jesus said, Father, glorify thy name. Verse 28, Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. The people therefore that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Others said an angel spake, and Jesus answered and said, This voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And if I be lifted up from the earth, talking about the cross, will draw all men unto me. This he said, signifying what death he should die. Say, preacher, what's Palm Sunday all about? Israel had an opportunity to receive the Messiah. Israel cries out. Here's the Jesus is coming through the eastern gate. Cries out, Hosanna, Savior, Help us. Some were true worshipers. The majority weren't. Israel rejects him as the Messiah. In closing, go to John chapter 1. John in chapter 1. Israel wanted a king now. But Jesus had business to do first. He had to go to the cross. I'm so glad he did. Israel rejects Jesus as the Messiah and continues to reject him. Now, that's not anti-Semitism. The early church was a Jewish church. The early leaders of the early church were, most of them were Jewish people. The church was born in Jerusalem. There's nothing anti-Semitic about that. Jesus himself was the seed of Abraham, the seed of David. He was a Jew. There's nothing anti-Semitic about that. But as a nation, Israel rejects Christ. Verse 10 and verse 11. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Now I want to end with this. He is the Jesus, and we made this clear in Sunday school. He is the very God. Israel rejected the deity of Jesus Christ. Not all of them. Because I said the early church was basically a Jewish church. We understand that. Thank God for the Apostle Paul. Man, thank God for the Apostle Peter. Thank God for the church at Jerusalem. Thank God for the church at Antioch. Thank God for starting. The Bible says the gospel will be preached in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and under the uttermost parts of the world. And I love Israel. I pray for Israel. I love what God has done through the seed of Abraham. But understand this. This is the church age, and we need to proclaim that Jesus Christ... Don't make the same mistake that the first century Israel did. We need to proclaim that Jesus Christ is the very God. Stand with me if you would, please. And I want to read John in chapter 1. Everybody standing. John in chapter 1. Verses 1 through 3. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. The Word was God. Verse 14. And the Word was made flesh. What part of the Trinity was made flesh? Jesus Christ. Jesus, the Word is God. Jesus is God. It says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Take your Bibles to John in chapter 14 and verses 7 through 9. John in chapter 14 and verses 7 through 9. Verse 7 says, if ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also, from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. And Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Philip says, Jesus, show us the Father, and that'll be enough. We'll be good with that. Verse 9, Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. Jesus is God. Okay, I got a lot more text to go to. I'm out of time. Let me just say it this way. Palm Sunday is about Jesus being presented as Messiah God. And as a nation, although individually some received him, as a nation, they rejected the Messiah. Let's not do that again. Next time Jesus comes, he's coming as King. King of kings and Lord of lords. Even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly.
We have a fine K-12 academy here on the campus of Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. It is highly academic and Christ-centered. If you have a child or even a grandchild, we invite you to check us out at fbconline.net. Maybe you would like scholarship, a needy student. So please contact us at 906-495-5200. The website is fbconline.net. You can help us reach the next generation by training champions for Christ.